idea would be to still accept those types of applications, the rural preservation subdivisions. The C2 and C3 zones, they would not be impacted either for developments. Final approval applications would be accepted by the city because that development would already have their vesting with their preliminary application according to state law. So again, final approval applications would be accepted. Preliminary and final applications for phases of approved master plans would be accepted. Again, those are vested under their approval for the master plan. Building permits would not be affected by this. If somebody has a lot that is approved and buildable, then they would be able to apply for a building permit. But it would stop preliminary applications for large and small scale subdivisions and planned unit developments, is the idea behind the moratorium. So again, that would allow the city time to focus on proposed code text amendments based on the recent general plan revision. So some of the amendments that were talked about during the general plan, review the animal rights code. We have a fairly restrictive animal rights code, and it's been proposed that we take a look at that and see if that can be loosened up in a few areas. Review the density for planned unit developments in the RA143 zone. Potentially eliminate the proportional size lot and frontage requirements when open space is required. So the idea behind that is if we have open spaces required, the lots can be reduced proportionally. It's been debated by City Council if the lots should still meet the zoning code for whatever zone they're in and still require the open space. So that's an item to debate. Increase setbacks along collector roads. The idea is to preserve rural atmosphere of Midway by not having any structures too close to any of our collector roads. Review the open space requirements for subdivisions is something that we would discuss. Amend the trail committee to become the Parks and Trail Committee. That's moving forward now. Again, we have that discussion before the City Council, and so staff has been given direction on going through and amending Title II to modify that committee to include the Parks Committee. Develop an economic development committee. This was part of the economic and development chapter of the general plan to create an advisory committee for economic development. Also review, which we have done tonight, duplex in the R19 zone. Possibly reduce density for mixed-use project in C2 and C3 zones. That's another item that we started that discussion tonight. Amend the outside water requirements for all subdivisions. The city currently has a pending code amendment regarding that item, and so we've started a review process on those requirements for outside irrigation, and then review our noticing requirements also. So those are just some examples of things that we'd like to take a look at as we've gone through the general plan, and we feel like as staff are important for us to focus in on and see, have a healthy public debate about these items. And going through a 6-month moratorium would allow us to have the time to go through and look at those items more closely. So possible findings, the city recently adopted a revised general plan, and some of the proposed changes to the general plan have not been enacted into code. And in the meantime, we've had more subdivision applications that have been proposed. Mm-hmm. The moratorium will allow staff more time to pursue preparing potential code text amendment changes for planning commission review. And then submittal building permits would not be affected by a moratorium. That's a common misconception of moratoriums, that building permits would stop during that process, but that would not be the case with a moratorium. Are there questions for staff?
I have one. New preliminary approvals would not be able to come forth, but what about a preliminary approval that's been before us but continued? Would that be allowed to be addressed in the 6-month period?
You know, I think that depends on the planning commission. Well, let me think about this for a second. They would be vested under their application initially, so they would be allowed to move forward because they would have their vesting already.
Okay.
Under the code that was in place when they submitted their application.
So I have a question. You said that C2 and C3 wouldn't be affected, but if we've got, some wheels turning on changing that code, why would we not put a moratorium on those as well until that gets resolved?
Yeah, the idea is a lot of these items wouldn't impact the C2 and C3 zones, but if the Planning Commission feels like that should be included also, it could be. We'd have to define exactly what we're looking at. If we're looking at a mixed-use project, would that be impacted by the moratorium, or just a commercial development, somebody wants to develop a restaurant, would that be? And so the idea was not to include the commercial zones, but it could be. We just have to define exactly what that means.
Mm-hmm. I want to make a brief comment about that, maybe helpful. I know when people hear the term moratorium, it's kind of a scary word. It sounds very drastic. We'll say that this is something that occurs all over the country all the time. This is not uncommon, and it's a very wise planning strategy for a body like this. And in fact, it's been done in this city before. Last time, as far as we can tell, 2006. And you remember what was going on back in 2006. And I think these findings that Michael's recommending are very, very important, because the statute that allows the moratorium to go into effect requires a specific finding of a compelling, countervailing public interest. And so this body and eventually the council will have to delineate and describe exactly what that is. And so one of the reasons you may not want to include all of the different zones is for each of those, you would have to find a compelling, countervailing interest and describe what that is. I think most of these changes relate to the R zone. So it's very wise to narrowly tailor the moratorium so it's not a complete moratorium. I think that is a wise legal strategy that reduces the legal exposure. And Michael's recommendations appear to go about this in the right way, and in my opinion, appear to be consistent with the language of the statute that enables this body or the council to make this decision.
Mm-hmm.
Great, thanks.
Is the 6 months a definitive, or is this a maximum? In other words, if you finish the work in 4 months, would the moratorium end?
It could end less than 6 months, but that would have to be described in the resolution that would be adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be described as 6 months, and maybe Josh can help me out with this, but my understanding is it could be ended sooner if that work is done sooner.
Okay, because that brings up the next question. Would, of the items listed as reasons, about six really relate to residential zoning, and two of those we already started discussing tonight. So will those six be prioritized by staff to work on in and let the others basically fall to the back of the line?
Yeah, we will need to decide which ones will move forward first. And, you know, I'll probably work with our Commissioner Nichols to see which ones he'd like to see worked on first. Also, the mayor could direct staff in which direction to go first, which items we would work on first. So I haven't tried to prioritize those items. But I think as we went through the general plan, it was very apparent that a number of these items, as we had the survey, and open space was a great concern, and reducing density was a great concern. I think those items would be top priority.
Right. Yeah, I guess my concern is, do we get open ourselves to a legal action if we say we're doing this for these reasons, and then we do things like devote all our energy to creating a committee of economic development and other things that really don't pertain to the subject?
I would say potentially yes, but the standard is not high. Mm-hmm. In order to justify a moratorium under the enabling statute, you simply have to make a finding of a compelling, countervailing public interest. So I think if the body makes a finding of that, then that's sufficient justification. Now, if the body makes that finding and goes about doing other things and doesn't support that, potentially there could be a problem there. The 6 month period is a hard deadline. It cannot go beyond 6 months. So what we recommend in the ordinance, this would need to be done by ordinance, obviously, a resolution. And in that resolution would simply say until it's 6 months, or the earlier of 6 months, or until it's repealed. Mm-hmm. So if this body finishes its work and finds that the moratorium is no longer necessary, it can simply be repealed before 6 months. But I think a wise strategy would be, and you're absolutely correct in noticing this, that you would need to make an agenda of those things that relate directly to the moratorium and begin working on them. Absolutely.
Okay.
One item that I haven't mentioned yet, and Wes and I were discussing it, is we have a capital facilities plan that needs to be updated based off of the general plan, and that really impacts the impact fees that somebody pays when they're, when they have their building permit finished, and it's ready for them to pay the fees and pick it up. And so right now, we're probably not collecting the correct amount of impact fees because of what's been added to the general plan. So that's something that's very important for us to review and update.
So and one thing, Bill, this is really a practical point. The difference for a developer between 4 months and 6 months this time of year is somewhat negligible, because you've got a window when you want to submit your initial application. And that window is based on, it's going to take this much time to get through the process so that you can get ready to build in springtime, which this year has been put on hold. I don't know if you noticed it was snowing earlier.
The footings for my house just went in yesterday.
So it's your fault that it was snowing. So the difference, in a practical sense, the difference between, as you say, 4 months and 6 months is really negligible, because we're not going to, between 4 months and 6 months, it's not going to have a significant impact on somebody who's trying to bring a development to the table to get it building in time. If we were having this discussion in October, it would be very different. But having this discussion now, 4 to 6 months is not really making that much of a difference in a practical sense.
Well, we wouldn't recommend anything less than 6 months of the resolution, because, again, it can be repealed at any time. You want to give yourself as much time as you can. And the trickiest part about this process is timing. To make sure that you're ready to go to consider the things that you need to consider at the time that clock starts ticking. So you have the time you need.
How many times can you do this? In other words, can we do 6 months and then say 6 months? Or is there, you know, you have to have a gap?
Well, the statute doesn't address that. I can only tell you what the statute says, and it's very little case law interpreting what the statute means. However, as legal counsel, I would not recommend that you make a plan where you, after the end of 6 months, you simply do it over and over, because I think that defeats the spirit of the statute. So I suggest that we accomplish what we need to do within that 6 months or sooner.
What happens after 6 months when the moratorium's lifted?
We are 40 people out there with applications.
Right. Do you need to sort of control that somehow, or is the capacity going to be there?
Yeah, there's really not a way to control that item. Once there's not a moratorium, somebody can apply for a subdivision, and they'll just need to meet the code that's in place at the end of the moratorium. I fully suspect that before the moratorium's enacted, this would be a recommendation to the City Council that will probably have a number of applications submitted before it's enacted. And so we'll have a little bit of a rush right at the beginning, and then probably one of the after it's elapsed also. That'd be my suspicion.
So Michael, is the goal then within that 6 month moratorium period that the Planning Commission with and staff would complete all of these and have the recommendations forwarded on to City Council to have them enacted within that 6 month period?
Yeah, that would be the goal to, and there may be other items not on the list that we'd want to take a look at, but that would be the idea, yes.
Well, they probably wouldn't get enacted within the 6 months, but they'd get out of our basket anyway, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. This is simply a freeze. So look at it as just that, a freeze, and when that fog comes, it is what it is. Whatever's done is done. Whatever's not is not. It just gives you that opportunity and time to say, hey, wait a second. We've got to look at a few things. There's a rush of building permits. There's a rush of building and development going on. Let's slow down and take a look and make sure we've got it the way we want it to be. You have 6 months to do that.
I mean, my concern would be that people would think, oh, this is some way we're going to try to maintain the rural character of Midway, and it isn't. Because what we'll do is we'll get all those applications will appear no matter what, and they just won't appear during those 6 months. So can we use the 6 months to do something else, raise money, buy land, or something else?
Well, some of the code text amendments do support for preservation and of the rural atmosphere, for instance, the setbacks, and looking at our sensitive lands code and the open space requirements. Mm-hmm.